Hallelujah. I want to talk about cleansing the house of the Lord, or cleaning the house of the Lord. And I'm going to get a little bit very deep, but it's going to be very important. Hallelujah. Now, every time the house of the Lord is defiled, then God will demand that a few of those that walk in the fear of the Lord would take up the task of restoring the house. Well, every time the house of the Lord is defiled, then the Lord demands that the house be restored. And in most of what I'm going to look at, you'll see the heart of the Lord. Utaona moyo wa Bwana kuhusu urejeshaji wa nyumba lake. Now, it is very astonishing that the Bible seems to be going in circles. It makes a complete loop with the human family. When you look back in the Bible, you'll see a people that went through exactly what Kenya is going through now. And so you can easily predict the ways of the Lord, the requirements of the Lord, and the demands of the Lord. And that is what really breaks my heart. Because if His ways are that clear in the Bible, why do we panic and move positions? Why do we panic and move positions when you know that where you are standing, you can get the favor of the Lord even as the word has said? His ways are so predictable. And that's what is very astonishing and heartbreaking. So it brings to light the disobedience of man. Only the disobedience of man can cause men not to walk in the path of the Lord and fulfill the will of God for them. Well, I want to look at what happens to the house of the Lord when it's defiled and what responsibility you have. We know that the house of the Lord is the most important structure on the earth. The house of the Lord has different facets. And I'm going to start very slowly from step one so we can all be at the same level. I know that the church has not dwelt so much in teaching about the house and the fear of worship in the house. But this is going to be the genesis for you, all of you, in the name of the Lord. Well, way back in the time of Jeremiah, the house of the Lord was most cherished. You see that it was the icon and symbol of the pride of Israel. Because no matter what happened to out there, whether you met the Amalekites, the Amorites, Assyrians, but when you came back to Jerusalem and you went into worship, the glory of the Most High God came down. It separated you from the other peoples. You knew that for us we have Jehovah as our God. And so the house of the Lord has been a very important feature of a people that love the Lord, a people that are chosen of the Lord. But the house of the Lord then was defiled, and so God was crying out for a remnant who would be able to reach out in prayer and repentance, the turning away from sin, so He may favor the house in Israel. Let me tell you one thing. When I saw the second coming of Christ, when the Lord showed me the second coming of the Lord, the voice of the Lord from the right hand side said, "Yes, Jerusalem is the center of the earth." And after that, I saw the Lord coming, and until now I see Him, because I see some light that's reflecting on His face, but there was darkness. And at the beginning, I did not understand what this vision meant. Until now, this is when I understand better. Because I kept preaching it, I said, it looked like it was coming to storm. You know, when it's going to rain and the sun has disappeared, when the storm is coming, the rain is going to come now, and then the sun has disappeared. Do you understand that? That's what it looked like. And then He made me also feel sad. So I remember when I woke up, I was asking Him, "Lord, why was I feeling sad?" And yet Jesus was coming back. But what I want to raise here is the fact that He said, "Yes, Jerusalem is the center of the earth." That means whether we like it or not, it is the center of the earth that God chose. You see that? But listen to this now. At the time that the Lord sent Jeremiah to rebuke Israel for her defilement of the temple in Jerusalem, if at that time the people of Israel had listened to Jeremiah, God is always very faithful to his word. Do you understand me? The Lord would have changed the course of history. He is capable without consulting with any man because he is sovereign. You understand? Probably at that time, he would have built one of the biggest worship centers for Jesus in Jerusalem immediately. Who knows? He would have done anything that he wished if they had complied to his word. Jeremiah was not speaking the words of men. He was speaking the word of the one that sent him, the Lord God Almighty. And what did Jeremiah tell Israel? He told them to repent from sin. Otherwise, there would be commotion coming from the north. Destruction coming to destroy the house. You see that? But God, having known the heart of man, he knows the end from the beginning. He knew that Israel was disobedient. They were not going to repent. And so he gave Jeremiah the glimpse of the destruction already that would take place in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And so Jeremiah saw that the temple had been destroyed. We're going to focus on Jeremiah 7 and many other scriptures today. But listen to me, precious people. Jeremiah saw already the destruction, and God went ahead and showed him the coming of the Messiah. Hallelujah. The destruction of the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem was coming out of the fact that Israel had refused to repent. Sexual sin was at the door of the temple of the Lord. The worshipping of money was at the door, even inside the temple of the Lord. They had built a golden calf again in the house of the Lord. They had adorned and beautified another golden calf again, and they were going around it, worshipping it in the house of the Lord, just like they did when they were in the wilderness. That's why I say, if you look at the Bible, it seems to be completing a circle every time with the people. And so God would have destroyed that temple. And you are all familiar. We have published Jeremiah 18. So this church can mature up and wake up the fact that dispensation comes when God demands a new vessel, another pot, a new home, a new temple. Like he sent Jeremiah to announce the coming of a new temple, a spiritual temple that now would be the house of the Holy Spirit. But when Jeremiah was speaking, he also spoke about you. Because now we know that the temple of the Holy Spirit is your heart. So when Jeremiah was saying there is going to be desolation in the land, even Rachel wailing over the desolation, he meant you. And we can see it in Kenya, that now the church is padlocked. The sons of God are no more to raise for him a tent. Many of them burnt. Makanisa zimechomwa Kenya. So that desolation was and is a spiritual desolation. And that's why if you are going to tie it, you can tie it with Amos. Amos chapter 9 verses 11 and 12. When Amos also saw the desolation and that the Lord will now return and restore. But he always restores the remnant. Let us look at Jeremiah chapter 7. The book of Jeremiah chapter 7, precious people. And this is what the Lord says. Hallelujah. He says here from verse 2, Jeremiah chapter 7. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I'll let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the alien and the fatherless or the widows, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I'll let you live in this place, in the land I gave your forefathers, forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which bears my name, and say we are safe? Safe to do all these detestable things? Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers? But I have been watching, declares the Lord. Go now to the place in Shiloh where I first made my dwelling. Now let me summarize it for you. There was an act of God at Shiloh. There was an action of the Lord that had taken place in Shiloh. And if I remember very well, Shiloh is on the way. After you finish Tel Aviv, you're heading to Beersheba. But there was an act of God that had taken place there, an act of judgment. So he was telling them, look at what I did at Shiloh. But at this time, God was rejecting his own house. Every time that the house of the Lord is defiled with Baal worship, like you see in Kenya, until now, Kenya is still in Baal worship. I'm so amazed. It caused the Lord to speak to me by voice in a dream. He said, I have done these things to them, and yet they still have not returned to me. The Lord was saying, don't depend on deceptive words and keep thinking this is the church of Christ. Aka reject, aka zifunga zote na makapuli zingine, aka choma zingine. Who can touch the house of the Lord? And God was rejecting his house because of sin, the same sin you see in Kenya. And inside this message Jeremiah was bringing is repentance. But I will not come to repentance first. I want to walk a little bit of a journey with you here to 2 Kings and many other scriptures. And then we'll see the mind of God regarding Kenya now and even the nations of the earth. So God is lamenting over all the practices here. I see that calf in Israel. I see it in Kenya also. It's a golden calf. They are kneeling down. They are worshipping it. The God of prosperity of this earth. You as a remnant, there's one thing I want to tell you. Please, disconnect your hearts from the things of the world. I can say that today, 1,000 years, when Christ is reigning, I'll say the same thing. Disconnect your hearts from the things of the earth. Listen to me, precious people. That is the prosperity that has defiled the house. And that is the same Baal that lied to them, because he promised quick prosperity, quickly. I don't want to dwell on Christian TV, Global TV. You watch it and you want to cry, because they are bowed down, they are worshipping the calf that was out. Wealth transfer from the world. In Jeremiah 18, he pleaded with them that he should be able to build another one for them. They refused to repent. He asked them that he should do so as the port at the valley of Ben Hinnom, where Jeremiah was standing. By the way, it's called the Dung Valley. The human dung was there. The rotten dogs were there. The dung gate faced the valley of Ben Hinnom, because the stench coming from there was dung and rot. And he took Jeremiah there to prophesy to the temple of the Lord, to ask her to be built anew. In other words, saying, look, like the stench that cometh out of the valley of Ben Hinnom, so is the fragrance of worship coming from you into my throne room. It is a stench. That same stench came out of Kenya, until he finally closed his eye and dismissed them. Hallelujah. Listen to me, precious people. As we are continuing to build on this, Jesus at one point, he went to the house and he found people selling things in the house, standing on the tables, changing money, selling the small bottles of anointing oil, olive oil, all these things. Jew and Dogodogo, they were doing all those things. They were preaching about the big cars, the big homes, the everything, how God is going to prosper you tomorrow. And yet the Lord was asking for a new dispensation. The Messiah had arrived. The Holy Spirit had sent him finally to them. Until Jesus talked about the destruction of the house and the building it in 3 days. That this house will be destroyed and rebuilt in 3 days, meaning at resurrection. Why have we gone back to the earthly tabernacle? Why did we leave the spiritual tabernacle that Jesus brought us and we went back now to the earthly worship now that you see us prospered in the earth? Touch any Christian TV. Go to any crusade, any church. They have recycled back to the earthly tabernacle. Horizontal preaching in the outer court area. And yet he said, I am going to rebuild it in 3 days. On the day of resurrection, I build even the Holy Spirit bore testimony to that rebuilding. Came down on the day of Pentecost. The Lord is asking that the church wakes up now, not tomorrow, and realize how much we have been a disobedient people. Lord, you could have easily just forgotten of us. You are capable of forgetting us and starting anew. During the time of Noah, he forgot about everybody and started anew, right? I'm not saying what he has not done. And yet you are still reaching out to Kenya, reaching out to the nations of the earth. Let us see how Josiah behaved when the temple was destroyed. 2 Kings 23. Hallelujah. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah and the peoples of Jerusalem and the priests and the prophets. Is that the same God Kenya is worshipping? If you're worshipping the same God of Israel, look at the demeanor of the king. Look at the conduct of the king. He took the priests also and the prophets. He took everybody that mattered in the house of God. You understand? The house of the Lord was central. Hallelujah. And yet we have not done these things before the Lord. But he took all the officials, his own and the ones in the house of the Lord, because it was time for the king to act. Look at what happened. All the peoples from the least to the greatest. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant. Verse 22 is very important. In 22, the king, he sees that the house is not sitting well. How does he see that the house is not sitting well? Because he sees that the NCCK are coming out there doing a press conference. We have fallen. It is true. We have misled the nation. The evangelical priesthood also came out, did a press conference after 1 month, said, it is true, we have also failed God. He sees that something tells us that the house is not sitting well. He sees that many bad things are happening to us in the land. You remember last year when they said that in the newspapers? That many bad things are happening to us. We just want to go and pray. Many bad things are happening to us. I was watching some of your leaders, hallelujah, saying that never has the country been this way before. So those are signs that something is not right between the creator of Kenya and Kenya. Hallelujah. And so the king, having seen that, he went to inspect the house in one of the worship meetings. And he saw that the house was broken. So he commanded the priest to go and see how much money had been collected there and repair the house of the Lord. Chapter 22. You cannot go to 23 until you've seen 22. And in the process of cleaning up, they found the book of the law. Hallelujah. It's amazing to me, really. He says, Josiah was 8 years all the way down, and they found the book of the law. And what hurt him is that when they read the book of the law that was found, they discovered they had not lived according to that book. And he tore his robe. Hallelujah. And things were happening. The house was being restored now. He had commanded that the house of God in Kenya is broken now, has to be restored. There is desolation in the house. They worship, he cannot see them. Neither can he hear them. They are pretending on TV. They say, God loves you. Don't worry, wherever you are, you're feeling pain. He loves you there. How can he love you when you have not fulfilled the very word he gave? Repent and return to me. Is he going to cover? Let's paint the sin with white paint. He needs to wash out the sin from the house. Inside here is the secret of rebuilding the house of God. If you read it all the way down, after the king renewed the covenant, before that he sent people to the prophetess Huldah in the second district of Jerusalem. And she told them how terrible it was and judgment would befall. But then because the king Arilararua Ngozake, he tore his robe. As they were walking out, the word of the Lord came to Huldah, tell them it's well now. You see that? And then the house of the Lord, the covenant between the Lord and the people was restored. I want to bring it to another level. At the time of Ezekiel, the Lord again started showing Ezekiel the defilement within the house of the Lord. There are many visions Ezekiel saw of the detestable practices underneath, detestable practices in the house, up to a point when now he showed Ezekiel the glory leaving. That is the same desolation we're talking about. When the glory was leaving, that is the same desolation. You can read Ezekiel 9 to 12 at home, precious people. You can read Ezekiel 37, which talks about the dry bones. You see that? The valley of dry bones. The army of Israel that was now destroyed. And it makes you understand what desolation stands for in the presence of the Lord. You see it way back when the Ark of the Covenant is taken, where the glory used to come, before Samuel came, until Samuel appeared and the house was restored. But desolation was there. What makes you think desolation was there? I'll give one example. When Hannah was crying out, and then the priest comes and says, Hannah, why have you drunk too much? And then for me, that worried me a lot. Why would you look at someone praying in the temple and say they are drunk? That means it was common practice to see those who are drunk in the house. And that is Matthew 24. That is the desolation the Lord spoke about in Matthew 24. I'll just quickly touch there so you may see. And I'm linking it to the time of Hannah and the priest of the Lord. The desolation in the house and what you see in Kenya. When he said the master left, and he left some of his workers, servants, in charge of the others. Matthew 24 verse 45. He says, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of other servants in his house to give them their food at their proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Verse 47. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that the servant is wicked. If I had a Bible, I would underline servant is wicked. Those three words. And say to himself, my master is staying away a long time. I would underline a long time. And he then begins to beat up his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. I would underline with the drunkards. So you see the desolation the Lord is talking about there. The drunkardness had entered the house. And that's why it was common to have drunk people in the house. Hannah is weeping. Let me tell you one thing. People don't understand how God operates. For me now, I understand a little bit deeper. I remember when I first entered Kenya, asleep in the night, that first night, he showed me the big cross at Calvary, the big cross. And it was the right hand of Christ being nailed. Pa, pa, pa. And the nail was piercing and the blood dropping, dropping. And he made me feel that pain. Now it was entering. I was crying as the nail was punching. Many times the Lord will make somebody feel the pain he is feeling. The priesthood did not understand that Hannah was feeling the pain that God felt due to the desolation in the house. She was so much in pain about the desolation that had entered the house. And he caused her to cry for the land that he may bring forth salvation, a servant to bring deliverance to his people. Isn't that what the Lord is asking you to do today? He's asking you to do exactly that. That you may feel the pain of God, such that revival will enter, restoration will enter, and worship will return. You see that? And you see very clearly that Samuel came and restored. But the Lord is speaking to you now also. You stood with this word when it came. Everybody may have rejected it, but everything now came to pass according to where you were standing. Your job is not yet over. You are supposed to begin crying to the next level. Hallelujah. There is desolation in this church, in Eldoret, in Nairobi, in Mombasa, everywhere. There is no worship. It will come from you people that are enlightened. Read also Jeremiah 24, verses 13 on. I say Ezekiel 37, how the whole army of Israel was now in the valley of dry bones, and God made Ezekiel to feel the pain that he was feeling, that he had nobody to stand up for him and raise a tent for him and keep watch around the wall, that the marauding Bedouins would not enter and defile the temple. Amos chapter 9, 11 and 12 said, Jeremiah 18, Jeremiah 10, 20, you can read that. Jeremiah 31, the voice of Rachel. I want to focus on Haggai chapter 2, and then we finish. Haggai chapter 2, verses 1, 14, I want to focus on that. And in this way, I'm going to emphasize on the fact that holiness cannot brush on others, and yet defilement can brush on you. Hallelujah. In so doing, I'm talking about the need for spiritual separation, okay? For your continued separation. You cannot blow the trumpet and say, oh, imeisha sasa tuende tukule nao pamoja. There must be separation. That is Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. I'm reading from verses 1 to 14. This is what the Lord says. On the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Verse 2. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? Hallelujah. Who of you is still here who saw this house in that former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? Listen to me, precious people. Who of you saw this house in her former glory? For me, that breaks my heart. Inararua moyo wangu kusoma hiki. Because I know the former glory of this house. I know when Paul was an apostle in the house of the Lord. I know what happened when Peter was an apostle in the house of the Lord. I'm talking about the dispensation of grace. I know when even Ananias and Sapphira could not lie before Peter. They could not walk away. I know when Paul had to stand strong even in the face of a threat to kill him. Why then have you people feared to die for the sake of Christ? Hallelujah. But he's asking, who of you was here that saw the former glory of this house? Nani alikuwa hapa hizo wakati za utukufu za kale hapa? Na je, ukilinganisha hilo utukufu na nyumba ambalo unaona saizi, wasemaje? Who of you saw the glory of this house at that time? And I know the glory of this house. Again, I repeat, when Paul was an apostle in this house, walking here, there was tremendous works of the Spirit of the Lord in this house. When Peter was an apostle in this house, even Ananias and Sapphira could not say lies before him. Many pastors have abused you people. They have used that scripture to say that go sell your land and bring all the money here. That is not what God is talking about. God is not focusing on the things of the earth. Let us wake up in the spirit, precious people. Let nobody ever lie to you again. Every time God speaks, He's focusing the church into the spiritual kingdom of God. Do you understand? He may use the things of the earth to demonstrate that. In that conversation, He was talking about the fact that the anointing of the Lord in the house of God cleans sin out of the house. Hallelujah. That is the same thing you saw when the servant of the Lord met the woman at Zarephath, the widow. It was not about go bring everything you have on it to the pastors. They call themselves apostles' feet. It was a lesson, like I have said, that when Israel was in the wilderness and she was following the cloud of God, when the cloud settled, she settled. When the cloud lifted, they removed the tents and they followed the cloud. Even in the night, it became fire that led them. And in that wilderness, there is no single day Israel starved because of the obedience towards God. Those who disobeyed, He cleaned them out, a whole generation. But entering the land of milk and honey, the promised land, and then disobeying the Lord, famine came in the promised land. Famine entered the promised land. I cannot believe it. The land of milk and honey. So the Lord was using the servant of the Lord and the woman at Zarephath to take the people of God back to the obedience of the Lord. That they may obey the Lord this time. That is He that has protected and provided. Let nobody manipulate you on that as it meant bringing everything to the apostles' feet. It talks about obedience to the Lord. Listen to me, somebody. So here He's asking, who of you saw the former glory? And we are all aware of the former glory. When Peter said, gold and silver have I not, but the Jesus of Nazareth I have, I give you, wake up and walk. And He stood up and walked. The former glory of His house. And He continues, let's continue, we're going to finish. This is what the Lord says. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of this land, declares the Lord. And walk, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. And my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will come once more and shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the desired of all the nations will come, and I will fill this house with the glory, says the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I'll grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priest what the law says. This is for you people. Be careful, verse 12. If a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answered, no. And that's why I said holiness cannot brush, but defilement will brush. That's what I want to bring to you, so you may understand the importance of spiritual separation, even physical. Hallelujah. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord Almighty. Whatever they do and whatever they offer, there is defiled. You can read that later. But I want to emphasize on the importance of separation. It's important to maintain spiritual separation at such a time. Because he was saying, if you fold some meat with stew in your cloth, consecrated meat, and then you touch defilement, does it change that defilement? And the answer is no. And yet, if you gain contact with defilement, a dead body, don't you become defiled? And the answer is yes, you become defiled. So there is transferable defilement. Defilement that comes from association. Oh, but I just go there. Where will I go? These days the churches are so spoiled. Which church will I go to then? Listen to me. The Lord is asking for separation. Because he says, they have met, but they have not met in my name. So if you meet with them there, you have not met in the name of the Lord. You have not met in the name of the Lord. And so you become defiled. Hallelujah.